Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Reality TV. I am back after a crazy past week. Some of you may already know this, but not only did I win the Hamilton lottery once about 2 weeks ago, I won it again last week. So I brought my son. We had an incredible matinee performance. It was, of course, everything that Hamilton always is. And I told you, I am going to be that asshole that's 5 years late to the game. And everything about my life centers around this musical. And maybe, perhaps, one of the stars from the Chicago Hamilton musical extraordinaire, he's going to be coming on the podcast. I'm just going to tease a little bit there. I have to slide into his DM later. Oh, hold on a second. I just gave you a hint. I'm going to slide into his DMs later. Is that what the millennials say? And we're going to set something up because this dream of a man, and I know that sounds really creepy because he's like 15 years younger than I am, but it's legal, right? He's honestly, though, he's an incredible performer. I don't want to say the name just yet, just in case he changes his mind after he listens to me obsessing right here, but it's going to be pretty damn good. He's a reality TV fan. We're going to find either a throwback show or a current show and break it down. So there you go. That'll wet your palate a little bit. But besides seeing Hamilton, of course, I have to thank my newest Patreon subscribers, Haley, Jill, Brandy, and the one and only Truly Brown. I love your pseudonym. I'll keep you anonymous, but just know I had like the biggest cheesy laugh out loud chuckle. I just love it. And even though I know what your real name is and I have your email address, you're always going to be Truly Brown in my book. I love it. All right, so let's dive into, oh my God, there's so many things that I want to talk about in the shallow end of the news. First of all being Amber Portwood from Teen Mom. Still not fired from MTV. What the fuck, MTV? She's an abusive abuser. Ooh, there you go. There's my zinger. I mean, she's an asshole. She needs to be fired. And if she's not, I mean, I think it's only the right thing to do that we all boycott and do not watch Teen Mom OG. I am going to watch Teen Mom 2. I have them all backed up on my DVR, especially when you don't know what the season's going to be and there's a lot of snoozers on there. It's better just to watch them in bulk. So I think what I'm going to do is either, I don't know if I'm going to recap them on Patreon or just this regular podcast here. I haven't decided yet, but I will definitely be talking about some Teen Mom 2. And if you want them more in regular fashion, make sure that you are subscribing and listening to Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom. She's freaking hilarious and her impersonations are the best. We need to like blow up her ratings because Amanda is freaking genius. Love her. So yes, Amber needs to be fired. Moving on to the Emmys, which I have not watched yet. I have them recorded. But listen, if 90 Day Fiancé is on, Emmys have to take a backseat. That's like smart people stuff. I need a Sunday night just full of stupid people doing stupid shit so I can snark on them. So the Emmys that I know I'm going to watch featured, perhaps awarded, I don't know, John Hamm. Yes, the lovely, beautiful, but I have a feeling he's a real asshole in real life. I don't know this to be true, but I just know the type. You can just look at his face and know that, you know, he probably was the guy in high school that would have called me fat. Yeah, I know. It's about time to sign up for some more therapy. Anyhow, John Hamm, get this, is dating Lindsay Shookus. Sound familiar? Yeah, that's because she's the chick that was dating Ben Affleck. They just broke up in April. She was the one that allegedly broke up Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck. I always want to say Affleck, like the fucking commercial. But she's now dating John Hamm. Like, what does this woman have between her ears that every celebrity that seems to cross her path, well, that's not true. Now I'm just being an asshole. All I'm saying is that when a basically everyday woman, seemingly she's a behind the scenes person, all of a sudden she's dating these really hot A-list actors, makes you wonder, right? I mean, I guess more power to her. Good job. Go for it, Lindsay. And she's pretty hot too. So I guess, like I said, I'm the real asshole. Now, I have got a couple documentaries that I want to talk about. And please, if you are watching these, let's create a new topic in the Facebook group or tag me, however the hell that's going to work. We got to talk about these. The first one is the one that everyone's talking about that's on Netflix called Unbelievable. If you are triggered or if you have a hard time watching rape scenes or violent scenes, which of course everyone is to a certain extent, I encourage you to maybe fast forward through those scenes. It would be pretty difficult to catch up if you were to skip the whole first episode. The first episode is very tough. I stopped watching it, and I think I posted in the Facebook group, like, please tell me it gets easier to watch because it was very difficult to sit through some of these scenes. But it really does a great job of showing you what it takes to convict a rapist when there's so much evidence. But prior to, I believe, 2011, you know, there was different counties and different states that wouldn't communicate with each other. So you could have a serial rapist going town to town, knowing what they're going to do to get away with it because people don't communicate in the law enforcement community. Hopefully that's changed. If it hasn't, what the fuck are we doing? I just encourage you to watch it. The only thing that really bugged me was, you know, some of the dialogue kind of reminded me of like a dramatized, okay, I'm just going to say it. Do you remember that show Felicity with Carrie Russell? I actually loved it. But you know how they would speak to one another? Like, no one speaks like that in real life where you're using all these crazy, complicated analogies and it's just rolling off your tongue and you're speaking as you're walking backwards as you're walking into court. Very unrealistic, some of these scenes. And it also bugged me that Toni Collette, for no apparent reason, is just driving an El Camino the whole time. Okay, you collect old cars, I guess. It just rang a little stereotypical. I'm a female cop, but I'm also one of the guys. I keep my heart under my sleeve, but really, all you have to do is peek right under it, and I'm a softie deep down. See, I don't have really good analogies like these people rolling right off the tongue. So what I'm trying to say, all in all, it's a great little docu-series based on a true story. Check it out. It's called Unbelievable on Netflix. There is also a documentary on HBO, I believe, and it's called For the Birds. This is a documentary about a couple, and the wife is obsessed with birds and chickens and ducks and geese and turkeys. She hoards her entire property with these animals, and it follows what happens when the county gets involved, what happens with her family. And I don't want to give anything away, just how it was put together and how it followed up along the years. Watch it. It's a great documentary. And again, that's called For the Birds on HBO. There is another documentary called I Love You, Now Die. This is about Michelle Carter. If you haven't watched the documentary, you had to have heard the story. She was kind of sort of dating this guy and he wanted to commit suicide and she was texting him over and over and over again, just do it, get in your car. And the kid did commit suicide. He ended up dying. And then she was charged as accessory to murder or manslaughter, something along those lines. And she was convicted. And she just the other day went to court because she wants to be paroled early. The judge denied her parole, but she is going to be released 2 months early. So she's supposed to have been released, let me see here, May 2020. And now with that time for good behavior, she's going to be released in March of 2020. I think in all she got 15 or 17 months. So with that good behavior, she's going to be out in, well, definitely less than a year and a half. I don't know how I feel about that one. I do think that there's some sort of psychopathy if she's telling someone that they need to kill themselves over and over again, that you don't step in, and all of her actions after that. Go and watch a documentary. It's only two parts, and that one is I Love You, Now Die. Now, follow up on a Patreon episode that I did with my girl Carrie a couple weeks ago. This was about Brooke Schuyler Richardson. She's the cheerleader who was accused of killing her baby. The whole issue was the baby stillborn or did she kill her baby because she was hiding her pregnancy? I really went into it on Patreon about how well she hid the pregnancy, who knew, who didn't know. Well, right after I released the episode, Brooke Schuyler Richardson was acquitted. She only had to serve something like 2 days or 2 weeks in jail. And because she had already served that, the judge just let her go. That's going to make a really good documentary someday. And I feel like a total asshole saying that because, I mean, an innocent baby, whether the baby was stillborn or alive, it's a horrible, tragic thing. But I like a good documentary. And speaking of that, what are you guys watching? I feel like we have some great reality shows, but besides that, there's no series on TV that I can really get into. Dave and I, it's like a dry well. He's rewatching all the seasons of that show Chuck with Zachary Levi. I think back in the day, years ago when it was on, we watched it together, and now I see it in the background. I'm like, Jesus Christ, how many more episodes are there? There was like 4 or 5 seasons of that show. Crazy. But I can't get into that. That's too cheesy for me. I need like a good version of Lost or something. So what are you watching? What documentary series? What can I look forward to during the week? Because now that Married at First Sight is over, Love After Lockup is on Friday, and then all of our 90 Day Fiancés are Sunday. So it's like nothing on during the week. We need something. It's going to be the only thing keeping our marriage together. I'm saying that jokingly, but honestly, we need something to look forward to. Oh, you know what? I was going to take a break first, but why not? Let's jump into Married at First Sight. I mean, speaking of marriage and the trials and tribulations, Married at First Sight wrapped up. We had like a little reunion slash tell all. I did not like the host. Totally forgot his name. I don't really give a shit, but his huge veneers were driving me nuts. And I thought he was kind of a dick during it. I don't blame Beth for snapping at him. But first, let's just jump in with Deanna and Greg because, I mean, what is there to say besides the cutest freaking couple? They are still together. They're now in love. They've said I love you to each other. And they're just perfect. There's nothing to snark on at all. They will have the cutest babies ever. Of course, they had to do like a little teaser where she had some news to share. They're expanding the family. Boom, commercial break. I thought they were going to say we're getting a dog or a cat or something or a lizard so Greg isn't allergic to a pet. But no, her sister's having a baby. They are going to be aunt and uncle or auntie and uncle. So cute, right? Now, Iris and Keith. Iris is so freaking annoying. And she's even more annoying because she's bitter. She's still all salty about Keith not being dazzled by her. And she's not even trying to be subtle about it. Now, I do need to mention her look in this episode. It was very bachelorette. I don't like her with long hair. I just like her hair natural. I think that, I mean, it just makes her look more likable. It makes her face less slappable. So she's still bitter. She's bashing Keith left and right. And what she just needs to know is that he is not that into you. I think Keith is just trying to be a gentleman about everything, but Iris is just used to getting everything she wants. She's an overgrown, spoiled brat. And her usual shtick of whining and pouting and talking about how great she is and questioning and drilling home points over and over and over again, normally that gets her way with probably her family and I'm guessing just a handful of friends because not a lot of people could put up with that shit. That doesn't work with Keith. Like he's so comfortable in his own skin. It's not working for him. The only thing that I think going against him is that he's being too nice of a guy. He just needs to say, I'm really not that into you. I only want to see you as a friend. Or maybe just say it in a very firm way. Or you know what? Sometimes you just gotta ghost someone. Poof, be gone, disappear. Now, Elizabeth and Jamie, they are still together. Although this was not a surprise because there have been quite a few sightings of Jamie and Elizabeth out and about. And recently, as a matter of fact, a Bay Area apple just ran into them. She was sending me messages and pictures yesterday. We were talking about it. I think she posted in the Facebook group too. And she said that they were lovely, they looked better in person, and Elizabeth's lips were not as puffy in person. And I'll be honest, Beth really did grow on me this season. I think she grew on everyone. She had her moments where she was a raging, crazy person. Beth is just a big personality. She's a lot of person. She's probably the kind of person when a camera is on her or she has a crowd, she tries to light it up. She plays it up. All of that put together makes her look like a wackadoo on camera. But I would bet anything in real life, Beth is probably a blast to have dinner and drinks with. I mean, hey, Beth, if you're listening, I'll fly out to the Bay Area. I will buy you drinks. We'll share a lovely charcuterie, and I want you to spill all the fucking tea about frickin' Matt and Iris. But, you know, that'll be just between you and me and everything I report back to you guys in the Facebook group. All right, so speaking of Amber and Matt, whoa, what the fuck is happening to Matt physically? Like, he looked waxy and tight. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, he almost looked like a mannequin. His features on his face were blurred out as if he walked around with an actual filter on his face. And what he was wearing blew my mind. I don't think this is the style now at all. Not that I get GQ or Vogue or anything that people who don't shop at Target might purchase and wear. He was wearing items from The Gap circa 89-90. A woman's blazer, like the V-neck shirt, peg roll jeans, and these crazy high-laced Doc Marten-looking woman's shoes. It was bizarre. And the thing with Matt, there was a lot riding on our expectation of him. He was considered the hot guy of the season, the very first episode. I think we can all agree, but he's just gross now. And of course, it's because of his personality, but I just think he got progressively uglier. Maybe it's God, maybe it's the universe or karma that when he starts acting ugly, it comes out of his pores and it like changes his facial structure and how he dresses and those fucking socks that he wears with his goddamn sandals. Something's going on with him. Is he just a sociopath? Is he a narcissist and or both? Because he's got no empathy. He can never admit fault. He thinks he's the smartest person in the room. And then when he refuses to answer Dentures McGee when he was being questioned, he's like pouting like a little fucking boy. I cannot stand this guy. And what he said he knew from the first 15 minutes after he met Amber on their wedding day that it wasn't going to work. Every woman and man, if he was suckered into watching this show, wanted to reach through the screen, take one of those long freaking laces from his boots and just, oh God, okay, now it was getting violent. There's gonna be a documentary about me wanting to strangle a reality TV person, but that's what I wanted to do. I mean, don't have sex with her if you know that you do not want to be with her. And he kept promising her things throughout the season, which is why he looks like such an asshole. If he would have said week 2, week 7, for Christ's sake, I don't think it's going to work with you and I. You're a great person. I just don't have the feelings there. We would have thought that he was kind of an asshole, but not to this degree that he is now. The fact that he kept having sex with her, he kept making declarations of wanting to be with her, and then to say this stuff after the fact, you're just an asshole. So good luck with your swiping left or right, you freaking waxy, Gumby piece of shit man. You know, Matt just isn't capable of having any kind of close relationship. Because think about it, he's not even close with his family. He just thinks too highly of himself. Like, he deserves a certain level of ass-kissing, perhaps. Oh my God, and when he walked into that question, when host Mick Veneer Teetherson asked that question about boundaries, and Matt goes, what boundaries? He walked right into it. He's such an idiot, such an asshole. He really slam dunked his reputation as the biggest piece of shit the show has probably ever seen. Now, I briefly mentioned his family, but I want to circle back to that because we never found out what the deal was. Remember, his family didn't show up for the wedding. Amber never met them. We need to know more about that. Was it that his family just didn't want to be on the show? Is it that they also think Matt's a sociopath and that he was doing this for a certain reason? I'm really throwing out some big psychological terms here. I'm saying it out of anger, but I do think he is touched by something. All right, so let's take a very quick break. I'm going to cool down. I probably need, someone want to lend me a prescription Xanax here. I'm going to take a quick break, and then let's come back with Love After Lockup and 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days.
Hi, we're Eliza,
Allison,
and Carlin,
and we're the hosts of Resolved Mysteries podcast. Our podcast follows the 80s and 90s television show Unsolved Mysteries, hosted by Robert Stack. We have a love for true crime and the unsolved.
If you don't remember Unsolved Mysteries, we forgive you, but you don't have to know to get into our show. If you like true crime stuff, ghost stuff, alien stuff, or just stories about weird shit like Bigfoot, this is your podcast.
The stories we cover range from totally ridiculous to truly heartbreaking. We do detailed research on all of the segments that Unsolved Mysteries aired, then drink some wine and give you the latest updates on every case. We talk about stories that will leave you laughing, crying, and occasionally outraged.
Resolved Mysteries podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your favorite pods. Join us, and perhaps you may be able to help solve a mystery.
All right, we need more Love After Lockup. I'm saying that right off the bat. I need a full hour and a half to 2 hour episode of Love After Lockup every week. We didn't even get to see Andrea and Lamondre this week. We didn't get to see Cheryl and Josh, who I think really was born in the wrong century. He looks like he was born in like 1820. We're about to follow him, during the gold rush days and see where he's going to pioneer and pan for gold. His face just does not belong in this time that we are in. But I'm going to take anything that we can get, especially when we get scenes like we did this week. Let's start with Lizzie and Danielle. First of all, before we get into the real classy sex scene that we got, what's this hot pool situation? Like, I know what a hot spring is. I know what a swimming pool at a motel is, but I've never seen the two merge together in a way where you would just walk into a random motel and say, I need two towels for the hot pool. Is this like spring water that they channel into a motel swimming pool? Very confused by this. Maybe this is like a, where are they? Idaho, Utah. Oh, Jesus Christ, not Utah again, because we all know that I don't know where Utah is. It's bizarre to me. Someone explain it to me. It didn't look hygienic in the least. I'll just say that. Now then we get to, I believe, Daniel's basement. The crew is basically shooting a porn in a laundry room. These two start going at it, and it was a bizarre sort of foreplay situation. I don't know if I was like watching a scene from The Accused or whether I actually watched a porn on national TV. She's in there in her jeans. Daniel just smacks her butt, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, stripped down, like an Ace Ventura style where all those clothes just get stripped off, and they're going at it. Daniel lays down. They show Lizzie mounting him in her little boy shorts, and then all of a sudden they're sitting on the couch together, smoking, basking in the afterglow of fluorescent lightings and an old basement refrigerator behind them that you know is just fully stocked with like Natty Light or some shit. It's like nothing. What was this film crew doing while they were having sex behind, you know, like a very thin, hollow MDF wooden panel door? Are they just standing there like listening to it happen? Are these two even legal? Wait, Lizzie just turned 18, right? Oh my God, they're not underage, are they? No matter, it's disgusting. At the very least, it was like softcore porn. But Lizzie is so proud of herself. She's sitting there like she's fucking Samantha Jones. And Daniel says, you know what I'm about to say, that sleeping with Lizzie is much better than Rosie Palm and her five fingers, if you know what I'm saying. And Lizzie takes a drag of her cigarette and goes, proud of it. Lizzie, aim higher, please aim higher than she's better than my hand. Wow, even I know that, and you guys know I'm like the biggest prude and I know nothing about sex, even though I've been married like what, almost 15 years and I've had children. Now then we have a little scene at Daniel's family's house and we find out that he stole Mike's hunting bow. And that's about it. I could talk about the weird water bottles that everyone was sucking down left and right, and why Lizzie never takes off her Columbia jacket under any circumstances unless she's going to, you know, mount Daniel and film a porn on a basement floor. You know who I really want to talk about is the new couple, Glorietta and Alex, but I'm saving the best for last. We're going to, You know, much like the foreplay of Lizzie and Daniel, I'm just going to tease you until we get there. And speaking of tease, how perfect is that? Lacey and Shane. Well, you guys, turns out Shane believes in a greater power. He's much deeper thinker than we gave him credit for. I mean, he knows that if it weren't for him beating the shit out of and popping an eyeball out of a man and blinding him, he wouldn't have gone to prison and therefore would not have met Lacey. I mean, he really should write a book about how The Secret worked for him. I mean, sure, he'd probably have to learn how to read and write and count first, but I mean, they have ghostwriters, right? I mean, all of the housewives have them. Let's just hook him up with Carol Radziwill, and I'm sure she could help him out. Just kidding. We probably need to put that publishing deal on hold because he's going to be going through some heartbreak. Lacey ever so casually mentions she's also with another guy who proposed a few years ago. Lacey is a bitch. She only cares about herself. She's not even apologetic about being engaged to another guy and not saying a word to Shane for however long they've been talking. Even if they were talking for 2 weeks before or 2 years before, that's bullshit. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say I feel badly for Shane because, you know, malicious wounding and eyeballs, but Lacey's pretty damn evil herself. So whatever karma's coming her way, she absolutely deserves it. Now, Vincent and Amber. Ooh, okay. First of all, I did not suspect that Vincent wanted to be a daddy, you guys. He also wants to be unemployed, like, immediately because the U.S. government is going to be looking into him because he's trying to pull off a scam. Why would he possibly think he could get away with this and go on a TV show? And in the end, okay, hold on. I guess I should back it up. I'm just really, okay, I'll have to talk about something on Patreon, which I know I've been teasing my Patreon people with for almost a year now, but I legally cannot say anything. Someday I will be able to. I'll just say Vincent reminds me of someone else who also worked for the government. So anyhow, Vincent wanted to adopt Puppy and or Amber because he can adopt an adult and then receive at least $200, $250 more in his paycheck every month from the government because he would have, you know, a dependent or something like that. So he adopted Puppy, even though Puppy is A, an adult, and B, has a mother already. Adopted her, but in the end, oh God, I love this. It was rejected because she's a felon. Like, wouldn't you do a Google search on that if you're going to go so far as to adopt an adult? I bet, you know what? I'm going to do this. After I'm done recording, I'm going to go and see how far down on the Google search page it takes me before I see that you don't get to collect money if the person you adopt is a fucking felon. He's such an idiot. Okay, so, oh, right, Puppy's mom. I think it's safe to say all of us had the same kind of red flags that mother puppy, mother doggy, I guess, if you will, mother bitch, the bitch mother. God, that was a really bad joke, but okay, again, I'm going to have to workshop some of these things. I should have thought this through first. Now, she had some red flags, but I mean, when you look at her and she's got maybe three teeth, it could be periodontal disease, it could be improper brushing and flossing, or she too could have made some bad decisions in her life. I'm just trying to say, maybe don't take her advice, but Vincent does because Vincent is a fucking idiot. She pulls an evil prank on Vincent, and it actually ends up being more evil and harmful to Amber because she makes Vincent believe that he needs to be more assertive and to lay it on thick with Amber. So he goes to Amber's room, lays on top of her, basically. I mean, the body language was actually much like Tim and what's her face, Jennifer from 90 Day Fiance, like leaning on her. She wants to jump out the window at that point, a real jailbreak, but he doesn't get it. And she's confused, like, wait a second, I thought we were about to break up. And now he's like, you know what? I'm going in. I want to lie with you and I'm not taking no for an answer. Damn, that mother bitch puppy dog, bitch doggy. She's stirring up some real good puppy chow, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, me neither. All right, Angela and Tony. Now, as you know, Tony has escaped from the halfway house, so who are you going to call? Tommy Noballs. Just kidding. Angela is a total bitch to call the sweetheart of a man whose heart she just broke and ask him to find the guy who just broke the law and ditched her. I mean, that takes some real nerve. And I think Angela loves torturing Tommy with this, "You can't have me, maybe you can. I need you, Tommy." I need to know more about Tommy's backstory. I just called him a sweetheart, but I'm going to really feel like an idiot if we find out that, you know, he likes to befriend his victims before he proposes and skins them. I could see that. He kind of does look like the guy from Silence of the Lambs, right? She puts the lotion in the basket. Ooh. All right, Glorietta and Alex. Oh, thank God. I needed this little ray of stupid in this episode. So Glorietta is 34. She's a nursing assistant. And we have Alex, who I think they said was 28, also known as hashtag everything Justin Bieber and, you know, inmate number 24601 at a county correctional facility for burglary. I mean, tomato, tomato, what's the difference? Oh, hold on a second. Just got an alert on my phone. What? A new song to hit America's Next Top 40. Well, what is this? Baby girl, when we talk, I get so high just off your love. Oh, Glorietta. Ooh, you guys, he really is the next Justin Bieber. And yes, she said Justin Bieber. She also said in a video clip that I found, it was not on the WeTV site, it was somewhere, I don't even know where I saw it on the internet, but she's being interviewed and she says she loves Alex because he gives her her P's and Q's. She doesn't even know her P's and Q's, right? Anyhow, she talks like a baby. She likes to travel in cars, in boats, in planes, on trains, bicycles, scooters, monorail, like those walking sidewalks at the airport, because I'm a Pisces. I also like to scrapbook in my spare time. And, oh God, I'm going to like kill my nodes, my larynx, if I keep talking like that. She also likes to curl her hair with these weird curls that make like right angles. I really hope you guys caught this because I don't know how she does not see that laying. That's like a mistake curl where you're like, oh, I'm going to leave the ends out and you curl it, but it's got that kink. She was working that look and it was not working for her. Now, this scrapbook that she has for her wedding, she says the wedding that has no limit to the sky. Again, P's, Q's, no limit to the sky. Oh my God. This wedding most certainly is going to have a solo song featuring the groom, and I cannot fucking wait for it. I also cannot wait for more scenes with Glorietta's mom. I love her. Somewhere deep down in my core, I know that she was a former fly girl. She knows her daughter is just bricks and shit for brains. And she has the same reaction that I think the world had when Glorietta gives her reasons for wanting to marry Alex.
He has pretty eyes. He has a good body, really cool tattoos, and he sings me songs.
Okay. And that Ted Bundy comeback? Yes, queen. I love Mother Glorietta. And if we don't get a scene where Alex is singing during their wedding, I will most certainly watch Mother Glorietta break it down on the dance floor. Because like I said, I know she's got some Running Man. She's got some Paula Abdul moves in her. I can just see it, can't you? Okay, let's jump over to 90 Day Fiancé. Let's go across the pond, if you will, and start with Darcy and Tom. Now, twin sister Stace, she's still there with her gap-toothed boyfriend. I mean, these thirsty bitches and their even thirstier boyfriends are all traveling the four assholes in the back of some tiny little bus across Albania, and Tom starts to get sick. Could be Darcy's perfume, could be the fumes emanating from her and Stace's synthetic leather pants. Tom starts upchucking. But it's okay, babe. Babe, I'll swing my 5'2 legs over on you, babe, and you'll feel all better, babe. You okay, babe? No. When someone is sick, the last thing you want is someone swinging themselves on top of you. And Darcy and Stacy start playing this game with each other that no one else is playing, much like the dinner party episode on The Office. Remember that one where Michael and Jam seem to be playing their own separate game, and it's called Let's See How Uncomfortable We Can Make Our Guests, and they're both winning? That's all you need to know about that scene, because that's truly what is happening. For sure, Stace's baby-toothed boyfriend fiancé is not as into Stace as Stace is into him. They're not in love. They just both want to be on TV. Same goes for Tom and Darcy. Now I'm done with them. I really enjoy the first couple episodes, but they can just move right along, find themselves a new factory in China to produce their synthetic leather pants for their House of 11 collection. Okay, I have no idea why I just chose to plug their stupid business, but I did. Let's move on to Rebecca and Zied. What the fuck is going on? Zied is greasing his hair back. It gets greasier every fucking episode. And he's wearing the itchiest goddamn sweater I have ever seen. And he's looking more and more like I did when I was 90 years old, plus a beard. I did not have a beard, but I had the weird colic. I had the hair where I was like, oh, a half pony back here looks good. No, no, it doesn't, 9-year-old Jody. And no, it doesn't, Zied. Now, Rebecca knows what hot is, which is why I'm so confused why she sees anything attractive in Zied. Rebecca's brother was exposed on Instagram, and someone posted in the Reality TV Orchard of Snark Facebook group. Go in there. We have lots of fun stuff going on. But you guys, my fucking mother of God, brother Rebecca is insanely hot. Like a brother Molly who? Yeah, don't remember him anymore. This guy is like Southern cowboy, conservative, hot, which is normally not my type, but I'm not going to get political. My point being, Rebecca and I know what hot is, and it is not Zied. He's not worth the hassle, Rebecca, especially when we find out this dude doesn't have a job, or he may or may not, right? He might be organizing audiences for a Tunisian game show. Yeah, he must be raking in the dough with those huge ratings hits that come from Tunisia. Yeah, maybe there's just like a Nielsen's rating glitch. We didn't know that Tunisia's next top model's just killing it over there. I mean, Zied is clearly dumping his skinny jeans when Rebecca asks him about a job because he doesn't have one. This ambiguous TV show job then turns into, I might do coffee, I might do restaurant, I'm not going to worry about this. Well, I worry about this, okay? I worry about Rebecca's pocketbook, what am I, Judge Judy? I just worry about Rebecca, period. She doesn't need this bullshit. Please tell me they are not together. Or at least they break up once it comes to the tell-all and she sees all the bullshit that he's doing. Caesar and Maria, what's going on with this? Is Caesar acting? I don't think he can act this part. I know he had some actor wannabe page up or his profile with some acting agencies, but this seems pretty sincere to me. I don't think anyone would choose to look like a complete fool on TV. I think he wants to be an actor. He wants to get his face out there and do acting, but I don't think it's his calling, much like singing or really anything having to do with reading would be my calling. So here we are still in Mexico. Caesar's hot off the breakup, and you know a Caesar salad's on the menu because insult to injury, salt in the wounds. Now, I'm telling you right now, that vacation goer who walked up with the beer koozie making friends with Caesar, that is me to a T. It happens everywhere I go. I make random friends and I become codependent and I get all involved and I think about these people when they have no fucking clue who I am. It happens at the grocery store. I know one of the baggers just joined a CrossFit gym. I'm a little worried about him because it's kind of a far drive from where he lives and his mom normally drives him to work and all this kind of stuff. I have special friends I meet at Target, the post office. I mean, TJ Maxx is like one of the best meeting places. You name it. I will meet someone who really needs a friend, maybe a little youth to help them reach something or to help them find their dropped coupons. Talk to their grown son about programming their Wi-Fi. It's happened. Last Thanksgiving, I had a 20-minute conversation with a woman about her recent cancer scare and her favorite mashed potato recipes and how she freezes them for her adult son who lives with her. All of these true stories, all I'm saying is I am that person. The only difference between me and the transient koozie lady is that I would have stayed with Caesar. I'm not going to leave Caesar alone to dine by himself, maybe because I could get a wonderful, fresh seafood meal. But also, I just couldn't do that. I absolutely would leave Dave to go eat dinner by himself so that Caesar wouldn't have to eat by himself. That's just what a good person does. And then I would feel really badly that he was alone for the rest of the night. And then I would probably invite him to tag along with Dave and I. And then Dave would be pissed off at me. It's just, again, it's what us good people do, right? Now, Avery and Omar, they are late. They're late for a very important date. And I think Omar really could have and should have planned this shit out ahead of time. He knew for months that they were going there. Like, he could have done a little bit of the footwork. Hate to say it, but this is like typical male behavior. Yeah, go ahead, hate on me. But from my experience, that's my opinion. This is a total guy move. Now, I got to give it to Mother Avery. She has made a full turnaround that I pretty much know for a fact I could not do with my own daughter. But then again, what is she supposed to do? She doesn't want her daughter getting married, but she's there. Avery's there. Omar's there. What choice do you have at that point but follow through? Like, she's really got both hands tied behind her back. And then you have Omar, who's looking so fucking adorable. He's so in love with your daughter. What do you do? Well, I guess what you do is you rush all around Lebanon looking for someone to marry your daughter. And then we see in the previews for next week that she flips the fuck out, storms off to the airport when Avery finally tells her, oh, surprise, I'm moving to a war zone. I would be her mom. I'd be pissed off. What mother would not react in that way? Now, a little backstory or a little spoiler. So if you don't want to know this, jump ahead. I'm going to get to Timothy and Jennifer Swiffer in a second. Someone posted, I believe it was on Reddit, then reposted. Apologies if I have that all mixed up. Supposedly, Avery and Omar did get married, but it's not like technically legal. It was done with the blessing of the church, but it's not exactly married. And this poster, wherever it was, says that Avery has not been back. She's still married to Omar and they talk online and Skype and all that kind of stuff, but she hasn't been back to see him and they haven't seen each other. That's what I've heard. I don't know for sure if it's true or not. I'm sure we'll find out when we get to the tell-all. All right, Timothy and Jennifer. Oh my God, where do I start? Do I start with Jennifer's mini blazer she stole from her daughter's Barbie collection or Timmy's grommeted belt from Hot Topic? The dork is hiking with a shiny pleather duffel bag, probably from Darcy's House of 11 collection. And in normal circumstances, you'd see a gringo hiking in the middle of Columbia's forest, mountains, whatever. I'm not a geologist, archaeologist, some kind of ologist, okay? Normally, you would think, yeah, this is going to be murder supplies. He's going to just butcher her out there. But this is much, much scarier. There's Ed Hardy and Express for Men in that bag. I know this to be true in every cell of my body, just like I know the Obamas would find me a riot once they've had a few cocktails and they aren't reminded that, you know, I don't know the different kinds of ologists and I don't know exactly where Utah is. But Tim, my God, where are we? Oh, right. Actually, once he was at the family farm slash ranch, I thought he looked fabulous. He was killing it in those riding boots. He had a black tank. I'd kill for his slim upper arms. He's playing it a little too Kyle Richards squeamish for me. Even I could do the spraying the cow thing. I mean, you're not like actually touching them. But he does have to give them some sort of immunization thing. And at that point, I think we were all screaming, just stick it in, Tim. Yeah. I know, it sounded very frat party in a Lifetime movie of me, but listen, even I'm cheering him on to just do it already. Now let's fast forward to Jennifer doing her own little House Hunters International audition where they're walking down the streets of Columbia. This place is famous for fig dulce de leche. Should we get house number one or are you going to kiss me number two? Rest in peace, Suzanne Wang, by the way. Did you guys hear that she passed away? I know, totally sad, and now I feel like a real jerk for throwing that in here, but this one's for you, Suzanne. This one's for you. So while they are thinking about their options, I would choose the family farm, not the Airbnb. Jennifer goes to really probably just retrieve the caramel that she doesn't want to waste and goes in to kiss Tim. And much like the dry fountain behind them, the kiss lacked all emotion, lust, anything that would make my inner Catholic schoolgirl cringe. It was awkward. It looked forced. It looked uncomfortable. And I don't know what Tim's deal is. Is he gay? Is he straight? Is he bi? Doesn't matter at all. It's just not for Jennifer. She was throwing herself on him at the fountain and back at the Airbnb. And I just had to think to myself, is Columbia that bad? I don't think I could sleep with Tim, even if I tried, even if he had that caramel all over his body, because I love anything with caramel. Things would just seal up tight down there, close up shop with or without my permission. It cannot be that bad in Bucaramanga that you have got to get a green card and you're using Tim as your way out. I mean, is she watching Paula and Russ's storyline and she thinks it looks so exciting, so she's going to copy it? I think I can speak for all of us when we say we've already got Russ and Paula. We don't need any more Bucaramanga in our lives. Now, moving on to Angela and Michael. I'm totally confused because, okay, first of all, I don't know who I like or who I respect. I don't even know if I truly enjoy watching their scenes anymore because it just feels like they have nowhere else to go with this before it gets real scary and Angela has someone to tote a baby for her. Like, it's getting to a point where it's going to be a scary international, long-time, lifelong commitment that's involving way too many people, if that makes any kind of sense. I mean, Angela is a force to be reckoned with. Michael is a user. Okay, for example, we bring his mom into it. She's an innocent woman. She's gorgeous, actually, if you ask me. She's got incredible cheekbones, gorgeous eyes. She's like a less greedy, more beautiful Michael in female form. And this woman is truly getting her heart set on Michael having grandchildren with Angela. That's just mean when you know for a fact that it's not going to happen. And although Angela did tell her that's not possible, I'm not having a baby myself and he's not going to have sex with someone else in order to have a baby. I mean, come on, just fucking end it, Angela. You know what? Angela should call up Tommy, the other Angela. I say this every freaking week. They happen to come back together. Angela from Love After Lockup, get together. Maybe have like a sister wives situation. Tommy would freaking love it. Tony might even come back. Tony and Angela from 90 Day Fiancé would probably have a lot in common because Angela's daughter, Scotty, Jesus. See what I mean? This is involving way too many people. Tony and her daughter, Scotty, have a lot in common. So why not just like build a compound, throw all the Angelas and Michaels and Tommies in there and have at it? All right, moving on to actually a very sweet couple, Benjamin and Akini. This really was kind of a deja vu. If you remember Tarek and Hazel when they went to Hazel's parents' church, this was almost the exact same thing. And you gotta love Benjamin. He clearly loves Akini so much and he's committed to his own faith. So he goes into this church with what appears to be an open heart, an open mind. And for him to sit down with Akini's father, who has a very strong and I think intimidating personality, but also these elders, I don't know if I could handle the intensity like Benjamin did. They're all up in their business because that's the culture. They want to know everything about his previous marriage and what's going on between he and Akini. And thankfully, they give their blessing, and now they have to set the bride price. So, here go Helcom next week. We all know that our little Benny Boo has zip to his name besides what's in his backpack, so I can't wait to see how this kind of hazing goes down. Never seems to go smoothly in those Lifetime movies, I'll tell you that much. All right, you guys, thanks for joining me again this week. Remember to check out patreon.com/realitybpod. We'll have a bonus episode this week. New episodes of Moms on the Rocks are on their way. And Total Request Podcast this week, we are going to be recapping an episode of Cold Case. I believe that is season 3, episode 2. Check that out at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. Thank you for leaving your 5-star reviews, sharing episodes. That really, really, truly helps me out. And if you haven't left a review yet, please do so. It just takes a second and makes a huge difference for us independent podcasters. So thank you for that. Hope you guys have an awesome week. And until next time, stay salty.